This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Sam and Duncan on location in the middle of the city. We've come in to meet a special friend of ours. It's Propaganda.
What's up, y'all? You know what I'm saying?
We're in a very noisy burger place waiting for our food to come. And you're here for Spark Conference. Tell us what we can expect this weekend.
Yeah, so came through for Spark and just expect me to bring the fire. Gonna be dropping some poetry and talking about some good and heavy topics, like, you know, like I normally do. But I'm actually excited to like really hear and see and experience like just some Aussie artists, you know?
Yeah. Now you've released a bunch of albums, Crooked the most recent, but you've also you and your wife do a podcast for Relevant Magazine, the Red Couch Podcast. I've talked to you before about that. But we were listening to one of the most recent ones that really struck a chord with us about how we just don't understand each other.
Yeah.
Can you take us into your thought behind making that, but also how you feel like as a globe, as a society, we just don't understand each other?
Yeah, so little point of clarification. So the first season was with Relevant. The second season is with the Liturgist Podcast Network. So we kind of switched over to that. Yeah, I guess the genesis of that sort of episode really was like almost like seeing just this like weird sort of socio-cultural symmetry between what was happening inside like the walls of the church, what's happening politically, what's happening personally, and it was just this like, you know, it's a moment when you can like kind of pull out of the fog and kind of like sort of examine a moment you're in, and then just kind of like just take a beat, get meta for a second, like what's happening right now. And it's like, yo, we're talking past each other, you know, and just kind of feeling like if we could do that almost as like the nations, just stop for a second and be like, okay guys, are we listening to each other? Like, I'm sure I'm really hearing what you're saying to me, you know. And just wanted to like in some senses help people understand that you're not alone, that we're kind of all in that moment, and we might even be in that moment as like an era in time, you know, internationally, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's kind of what that was on.
You know, kind of as you say that, I think it's almost like a trained art, the idea of not just listening to somebody, but understanding what they're saying and not looking for a space to enter that conversation.
Yeah.
And I feel like that goes kind of doubly important when it comes to a conversation about things that we might disagree over, and learning actually we can disagree about stuff without actually having to hate you, you know?
Yeah, I think like you said, like oftentimes we're listening, but with the idea that like I feel like I already know the point you're trying to make, so I've already rushed to like that completion and I'm responding to what I think you're trying to say, you know, and I'm going to say almost 100% of the times, and by almost I mean actually always, you're wrong. Like that's not even the point that person was making, you know, and so I think it's an exercise in saying, and really in just ultimately in humility and understanding your finite, you know, knowledge and really like just how little not only do you know of yourself but of the person sitting next to you, even the person that you know the most, you actually, I mean, really don't know them that well, you know what I mean? And dude, like just how we could grow as a person and as a civilization. Yeah, you know, even when you, like you said, like you could be like vehemently, even if you do wait and listen and get to the conclusion, and you get to the conclusion of that and you're just like, oh, that's crap. Like, I you're right. Like, now I legitimately don't agree with you. You know what I'm saying? But at least I know I listen to you, you know what I'm saying, and can respond in kind and can be like, yeah, now we can be like, yeah, dude, I don't have to go get a beer with you, you know what I'm saying? Or let's go get a beer, you know what I'm saying? Because it was kind of fun, you know what I mean? But like at least have like an honest assessment of that moment, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the first thing that I came across with you was years ago, a video that you did called The Gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. And that's was my first introduction to you. Went viral around the world. And it was really helpful. We used it in school scripture classes with teenagers, and they loved it because it was spoken word poetry.
Yeah.
I think you've obviously got a real gift for being able to communicate the gospel, but you're also political, social, cultural, all kinds of stuff like that. Where do you want to see yourself in the next number of years doing this stuff?
I want to see myself devouring this fish sandwich, number one.
The burgers are here.
Yes. But, I think that, I think in my mind, I want to continue to, develop content. I don't feel tired in the sense of, like, making rap music or making poetry. Like, there's no part of me that feels like I'm out of things to say, or that I've somehow outgrown hip-hop. Like, I don't feel like that. But I think that the vehicle, the means for which the content will come out, like, I don't know. Like, I'm really open to, various sort of ways to put things out, whether it's video or even like literary or, podcasting. But I think I still like see myself giving cultural commentary some way.
For sure.
Yeah.
One of the ideas that I really like that you bring up is this idea of empire and the church. And can you kind of articulate this so we can understand what you mean by it?
Yeah, totally. This is going to be a long one, though, so be careful.
So I'll edit it out later, right?
Okay, cool. I just think that we live in a space and in time and history and parts of the world, you and I, where it's post-enlightenment, it's post, exploration age, age of exploration, we're at the end of that. So in some senses, the idea of a Christian nation, it's a rather new thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an empire. And when you have an empire that's decided that this is the thought, if you align yourself with that, you experience certain types of freedoms. And us, 300, 400, 500 years later, who, for myself, having a complicated relationship with that empire, because it's like, well, that's the empire that enslaved me, but it's also the empire that allows me to speak freely about Jesus whenever I feel like it. You know what I'm saying? But that's just a product of empire privilege. You know what I'm saying? So the idea that we could build institutions, build seminaries, build schools, build things, and then get mad when someone says we're going to take prayer out of school is because, you've married your faith to the empire. So you've experienced a certain level of privilege that came from it, right? That's rather new in the Christian tradition, right? So now, having said that, I come from a position that, from the first...
From that point.
Yeah.
Because I think this is really important. What happens is when you're trying to balance privilege and find equality, those who are in a place of power, an empire, feel like when those rules are shifted that they are coming under oppression, that they're being persecuted, but what's actually happening is a power is being rebalanced.
Yeah, absolutely, which I think that like from the moment of the fall on is the narrative that's happening here. It's like we lord it over where we were called to reflect. We were reflecting the image of the Father, and God saw it was good and he gave, right? And then like the beauty and the symmetry of the language of saying, and then human saw, or Eve saw that it was good and she took, And, which is like, and then the sons of God saw the sons of man and they took for themselves, They saw that it was good, So you have this symmetry, of this desire to usurp and control power throughout the book. And then so from like Leviticus and just the Levitical laws is it's God trying to say, look, you're different. that hierarchy doesn't exist among us. Like, he's flattening culture, you know what I'm saying? And just saying, like, yo, I own land. It's in the laws. I own land. I'm harvesting wheat. If I drop some wheat, you got to leave it there. You're not supposed to harvest the corners because this land ain't yours, fam. The land, land is ours. So that person that has no parcel, that person got rights to the wheat that you just harvest. You know what I'm saying? That's flattening culture. You take somebody's cow, you owe them seven of them. That's flattening culture. You understand what I'm saying? So he keeps saying, hey, you don't need a king. Like, y'all don't need one of those. Like, I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. You're a part of a different empire, you know? And then they get carted off to Babylon. And you're seeing the precursor of Jesus saying, render to Caesar what's Caesar's, render to God what's God's, in Daniel and in Jeremiah, by, like, Jeremiah being like, yo, okay, to the exiles, hey, build houses, guys. It's good. You know, get married, have children. It's fine. I know my plans for you. You know, Daniel works for Nebuchadnezzar. Like, let that sink in. Like, he worked for Babylon and made him succeed. You know what I'm saying? Like, was, like, excellent at it, too. You feel me? It's like, it's fine. Yeah, it's like, I'm here. It's cool. I'm not married to this empire. My faith isn't in this empire, because when the empire builds an image in itself, you know, builds something in its own image, i.e., like, this, you know, statue that Nebuchadnezzar built, he's like, well, I'm not bowing to that because I'm not made in that image. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I'm here. It's cool. So then Jesus going, nah, it's fine. You give what image is on the coin? Well, it's Caesar's image. It's his. So what he's saying is like, well, I know what image is on you. You're part of it. We're not empire building. That's them. You understand what I'm saying? So when you start empire building, your only hope is to protect the power and protect the empire. You know? So you build infrastructure, you build structures, and then you keep out prophetic voices as much as you can, because that challenges the empire. You know? So when you start playing those games, it's only going to end in, at some point, the empire will fall, because that's what human history does. It's gonna fall. I don't know why we, at least I can speak mostly about, like, American institutions and structures. Yeah, yeah. When we started convoluting and lying to ourselves, like, you know, we were a Christian nation, you know what I'm saying? It's just believing this narrative about ourselves. Well, then you've married yourself to something that, you know, if you're following history, is gonna collapse. Like, you can't, you shouldn't. What you marry yourself is to something that's transcendent rather than something that's finite. So, and this is, I feel like, what we're seeing in the States is a reckoning of that. Is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, somebody got to answer these questions. You backed the wrong horse, guys. You know what I'm saying? And now you're being called to the carpet. Like, what are you going to do? Okay, now you have a choice.
Wasn't that the horse that was backed, large in part, a product of a conservative Christian movement to get Trump in?
If I was afraid of losing fans, I would answer that. Wouldn't answer that question. But since I ain't afraid, yeah, I think. I mean, but let me step you back further in history. Like, there's the formation of the religious right. The conservative coalition was in direct relationship to desegregation. It was directly connected to it. You know, Nixon having, you know, what they would call, like, Negro agitators, you know what I'm saying? And they created this coded language of saying, this stuff's recorded, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's coded language of, like, family values, homeland security, was coded language for here come the black people. You know what I'm saying? So even its origins, and then saying, well, no, we're talking about, these are our four talking points. Like, it was a very brilliant political analyst who said, that's a large voting block, and we need to gather them, right? So if you're born into a time where you don't know any different, then, yeah, you can't separate political conservatism from your Christian faith. So when a guy stands on the stage who carries no fragrance of the gospel, I don't know the guy, I just know he don't carry no fragrance. You know what I'm saying? But then tells you he does because he's backed the right horse, then you're forced to, like, plug your nose and vote for him. You know what I'm saying? Unless you've never married yourself to the empire in the first place, because as far as I'm concerned, these people have never had my interest in mind in the first place. You know, I've only known subversive. I've only known you have to subvert the empire. That's all I've known. All I've known is a gospel that looks like Moses, an incarnation that looks like Moses, right? Where when Moses stood in front of Pharaoh, raises this staff, like, you got to read that text, because it's interchanging God raised his staff to Moses raises his staff. Where you say, saying Moses God? No. Well, then, well, what happened? Did God do it or did Moses do it? And the answer is yes. You know what I'm saying? Right? Is he's being an image. He's image bearing. He's reflecting the image of God. I mean, it's the incarnation. Like, it's the... I'm being the perfect reflection of God's image. And what does that do? It brings justice. It subverts empire. You know what I'm saying? So, it, you know, whether that empire is one that is played out in a spiritual way of saying this, the tyrant of sin, you know, or the physical tyrant, either way, this is reflecting God's image. So, there was this co-opting, you know, you've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, you know what I'm saying? And we took the pill, you know. And I'm saying now the beauty of the moment we're in now is like somebody's going, hey, you gotta throw that pill up, bro. Which ship are you gonna go? You're gonna sink to the bottom of the ocean with? Like, really, what are you gonna do? You riding this Republican ship down? You riding this conservative ship down? Or are you gonna stand on a rock that the Father actually built his church on? You tell me. I've chosen. You know what I'm saying?
The problem is when you're creative and people catch the vision of that creativity, you start to create essentially a movement that becomes an empire of sorts. Whether that is to rattle the existing systems and try and start something new, you find yourself in a place where people are following you and jumping on board and saying, I want every part of that, but not getting the whole picture. So we saw this with the new reform movement in the States. Love Driscoll. Let's get on board with him. Let's go for it. Let's set up the network. Let's go for it. And then suddenly the wheels start to come off because not everyone quite gets what the new reform movement was about, okay? How do you, in that, as you're, for want of a better word, questioning the powers that be and creating your own incarnational expression of Jesus, ensure that you have a network around you so you're not building your own kingdom?
I think you answered it in the question, you know, the network around you.
Yeah.
That's making sure you're not building your own kingdom. And that, you know, has to do with, yeah, some of that, like you said, is unintentional in the sense of, like, creating followers. But what was mentioned off mic was, the idea that, like, okay, so why did Christianity grow in the first place?
Yeah.
Was the fact that they were decentralized. You know what I'm saying? The fact that they were freakishly generous, you know, they were freakishly subversive, you know, and made much not of their own charisma, you know. They pointed to stuff, things that were greater. They did things that Jesus told us, which was like, why esteem my brother or my sister higher than myself? The greatest serve. So they positioned themselves in ways that said, I am by nature, right, deflating myself. You know what I'm saying? So as a believer, that's something that one has to do. Now, as an artist who's attempting to sell products, it's a different story. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there's so in that sense, that's rendering to Caesar what Caesar if it is, where it's like, you know, it's economy, and I am trying to create a great product that gives you a reason to purchase. I'm not going to lie about that. I try to make a good t-shirt because I want to sell a t-shirt, right? But I'm not using that t-shirt to get your blind allegiance, right? I'm not using that album to coerce you into being something you're not, right? I'm using that album, and you're paying me for it because you saw the value in the product, right? And that's all that is, right? And but the message that I am as a human carrying is one that says, I must decrease, you know what I'm saying? So I think that, like, having, like you said, people around you that remind you of such is the key. But I don't, I'd hate to sit here and act like I have a formula as to, like, how to avoid this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I, like, legit don't know. You know, it was, like, from the moment of the ascension, like, the second chapter of Acts, like, these dudes were looking at each other like, okay, so how do we do this? Yeah. What do we, wait, does he, okay, so what do we, wait, so you need to get circumcised, right? And then Peter gets a vision. Nah, it's all good. Wait, what? But like, but for sure they need to like follow the kosher eating laws. No, nothing I made clean is unclean. Wait, so all of it's clean now. Yeah, wait, what? You know what I'm saying? So just this, like, I don't know what's... What about all these, like, Greek widows? Oh, well, here, get a deacon. Let me invent this thing called you. It's called a deacon. I'm going to invent it right now. It's a deacon. What's his job? Make sure they're fed. Yeah,
that's right.
It's
right.
Acts. Like, yeah. That's what it says. Like, that's their job. Jobs, make sure they're fed. So you're just in this church for justice. That's what it's here for. Okay, so then... Well, then what about, like, but there's, like, workers and there's owners and there's this. And he goes, hey, when you come to have a meal, wait. Don't eat. Wait for them to get here because you're supposed to share a table with these people. Yourselves, but I don't know. Like, I mean, those were suggestions he gave us, but I ain't figured it out. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
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 I think that's, like, the biggest secret that sometimes people don't cotton on to is, for the most part, what works is we're flinging mud against the wall and we are seeing what sticks. And we've been doing that ever since Jesus left. We're like, you know what? This is sticking. Let's run
Let's
with
keep
it.
Doing that. Let's keep doing that. I don't know. Let's keep doing that. It looked good. Oh, dang, it stopped working.
I think that even speaks to artistic expression. You're going to go into a space where you're going to have a lot of artists around and they're going to go, I'm not getting noticed. No one's paying attention to me. I feel like I'm doing really good stuff. And it's like that last one is the key one. Do you feel like you're doing really good stuff? Great. Keep on doing it. Do you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to stop when y'all tell me to. You know what I'm saying? Hey, those bars weren't hot, prop. Oh, okay, I guess that's it.
That first day for you, right, is that you go, you know what, I really like poetry, I'm going to do it. That didn't land you on the front stage of a conference. No, there's a huge old gap between when you started getting into poetry and when someone said, hey, you're really good at that, right?
A huge gap between those two moments, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what got you there, right, is that you just stuck at it because you believed in that artistic expression. I'm answering your questions.
Correct. Yeah, you're right. I believed in it.
He can be a spokesperson from now on.
Nailing it. Why don't you just do the own interview?
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you do the conference, Duncan? Yeah? Keynote speaker. No.
Yes.
Well, we should... you know, you're here in Sydney. Yeah. What do you love about this city, by the way? Your second time here.
I like the food, for sure, believe it or not. And I also like... You know what I like? I like the irreverence of your culture.
Irreverence? What do you mean?
Yeah. Because you guys weren't founded by Puritans. So, like... You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's the literal opposite. You know what I'm saying? So I just like that, like, it's just, like, not, like... You're just not, like, prude. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just this, like, manners culture and just that, like... Yeah, I just don't have. You know what I'm saying? And I just like that, you know?
We did just get a new prime minister last week. You heard about this?
I heard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, things don't always look that cruisy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
But, you know, you're here in Australia. We wanted to introduce you to a bit of Australian culture.
Okay.
And you're a spoken word artist.
Yes.
So we've got two pieces of literature here. One is a famous poem by a man called Banjo Patterson. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
Okay. It's a poem called Mulga Bill's Bicycle.
Okay.
And we would love it if you could read a few stanzas of it.
As if I wrote it?
As if you wrote it. Or as if you just want to, you know, bring it to this century we're in, because it's quite old.
Okay.
Would you be willing to do that? Mulga Bill's Bicycle by Banjo Patterson.
All right.
As spoken by Propaganda.
Okay. Let me hold this one.
Okay.
This is ridiculous, first. I don't even know how to say the second word.
Mulga.
All right. 'Twas Mulga Bill from Eagle Rock that caught the cycling craze. He turned away the good old horse that served him for many days. He dressed himself in cycling clothes. Resplendent to be seen and to be hurried off to town and bought a shiny new machine. He wielded through the door with air and lordly pride. The grinning shop assistant said, "Excuse me, can you ride?" "Ride." This is, what is this?
You can leave it there.
Okay.
That's.
Tell me about this poem, though.
I don't know a whole lot about this poem. It would have been a few hundred years old, you'd say? Yeah. It's by a famous poet called Banjo Patterson. Mm-hmm. Duncan printed it off this morning.
Thank you, Duncan. Thank you.
It was one of my favorite childhood stories because he gets this incredible bike and gets rid of his horse and he finally gets to the top of the hill and rides it down and loses utter control of it and it smashes into smithereens and he ends back up on his faithful horse realizing he's made a terrible decision.
Oh, that is precious. Yeah. Thank God for poets.
Duncan ruined the ending, but if you want to take that home, you're more than welcome to read it in your hotel room.
I'll take it home.
We'd also want you to read this. So can you... We might video this, I reckon.
Okay. Yeah.
If you don't mind. This is a famous book. Do you know where? By Mem Fox, who's an Australian author.
Okay.
And this is my daughter's favourite book. She's nearly two, and she's just started to read it herself. She can say, "Red Sheep, Bath Sheep," right?
Precious. Yeah.
So this is... I borrowed it from her. I asked permission this morning.
Yeah. I'm not taking this.
Would love for you to read Where is the Green Sheep? Because many of our listeners would know this very well. For our breakfast audience.
Okay. Now I'm picturing my own daughter reading to her. Yeah. "Here is the blue sheep. Here is the red sheep. Here is the bath sheep. And here is the bed sheep. But where is the green sheep? Here's the thin sheep, and there's the wide sheep, and here is the swing sheep. And here is the slide sheep. But where... is the green sheep?"
You enjoying it so far?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's good.
"Here is the up sheep. Here is the down sheep. Here is the band sheep. And here's the clown sheep. But where is the green sheep? Here's the sun sheep. Here's the rain sheep. Here's the car sheep. And here is the train sheep. But where is the green sheep? Where does green sheep at? Here's the wind sheep. And there's the wave sheep. Here's the scared sheep, and there is the brave sheep. But where is the green sheep? The green sheep gone. Here's the near sheep. Here's the far sheep. Here's the moon sheep, and there's the star sheep. But where is the green sheep?"
Can you see it?
No.
Not there.
"Where is the green sheep? Turn the page quietly and take a peep. Our green sheep, fast asleep." Aww. Go to bed. That's what that is, right? Go to bed, little girl. I love it.
Where did you think the green sheep would be that whole time? Where did you think that was going to end?
I had no clue. I had no clue. I should have guessed, it's a bedtime story. Green sheep sleep. Dang.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, Prop, we're really excited about you hitting the stage of Spark Conference. You get tickets at sparc.org.au to see Prop on stage.
Yup, come through.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.